You're listening to The Health Classes You Missed. My name is Monica and I am a secondary school health teacher with a passion for all things health. Whether you're currently at school or finished 20 years ago, this podcast will help you understand those topics that may have been skimmed over, considered inappropriate, or flat out ignored. So sit up straight, faces forward, let's get into it. How are we? I hope we are good. I'm so excited today. I know I've had a little bit of a hiatus. If you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen that I got my teeth out. I did post a photo of myself. It was just on the stories. If you missed that, I will definitely not be showing another one. It was so embarrassing. I had so many messages. I referred to myself as Quagmire, so I've only got myself to blame, really. But I'm so excited. I'm actually in the studio today. I have you, Tom, here with me. Welcome.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon, actually, by this
point. Good afternoon.
Just after 12. No, I am so excited to have you in today. I was speaking to someone from Movember, and they put your name across to me to talk about something super bloody important today. So you are a Movember ambassador, right? A Mobro, as they call you guys.
Mobro.
Love it. And you were diagnosed with testicular cancer at the age of 24.
Yep.
Now, I guess we're going to talk today about going from being a fairly normal 24-year-old, I'm assuming, to then being diagnosed with testicular cancer. I can imagine that was absolutely massive and, you know, then being shoved, I guess, into treatment and operations, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really interested to dive into that with you today. We are doing this as a part of the Know Thy Nuts that Movember are running. And this is all about making sure people are more aware of the impact of testicular cancer, how to test yourself or what to look out for on your own body. And also we can chat about some of the barriers maybe that young men in particular face when going to get medical treatment or help from medical professionals. I think all of this is so important to talk about. I haven't touched on this really at all on this podcast before, so I am bloody excited. Thank you for coming in today. It's a Sunday, by the way. We're here on a weekend.
Yeah, working hard.
Working hard.
Working
weekend
hard
friends.
Weekend.
We love it. So tell me a little bit about yourself, for starters. Tell me about, I know people listening may not have clued on yet, but you've got an accent. So you're not from here. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm not from here. From the UK.
Love it.
A place called Birmingham in the middle of the UK. And I came on holiday to Australia in the Christmas 2022, I think it was. And it was meant to be a 3-week holiday. I was enjoying myself. I didn't get on the plane home. And yeah.
You just missed your flight.
I just didn't get back on the
You're like, you know what?
There was a flight. I gave someone like a spare seat next to them, you know.
Oh,
like, let someone
lovely.
Have a little snooze on the way home. But yeah.
So you just called your parents and were like, you know what? I said I was going to be home on this date. I'm actually going to stay.
Yeah. I feel like my mum wasn't best pleased. But hey, here we
I
are.
I bet. Oh, yeah. That's great. And so what made you want to stay here?
There wasn't too much sort of tying me down in the UK, and then I just came over here, made some friends, started enjoying myself, and I was like, there's nothing really to take me back. I'll go home when I want to go home. So
yeah.
I haven't gone home yet.
You're like, and here we are.
Here we are.
That's great. Well, I love that. And I think it's so funny. It's that whole thing of just like we swap young people, don't we? Like everyone from the UK comes here.
100%.
All of us go there. I've got so many mates living in London and stuff now. Like, it's hilarious that it's just a big old switcheroo. And it's great.
Exchange,
we love it. We love it. So tell me a little bit about your journey with being diagnosed with testicular cancer. From the very start, what happened? What did you find? How did that all happen?
Yeah. Okay. So the very start is I felt a lump. Actually before I moved out to Australia. So I went to the doctor after a long time of just putting it to middle of my to-do list and then bottom of to-do list because it didn't seem too important. And then I went to the doctor maybe a week or so before I flew out, and they were like, oh yeah, you might need to follow that up with some ultrasound, a scan. But I basically didn't have time, and I thought, oh, I'll do that when I get back. That just didn't end up happening. So fast forward a few months and I'm finding a house, finding a job, settling in, signing up to a GP, all the life admin that you got to do before it gets back round to me seeing a doctor again for the same thing, at which point I did then quickly get followed up with an ultrasound scan, I think. And then, yeah, started having all the tests done, and that's when I was, like, diagnosed. So it was around June when that happened.
So you were here when that was going on. And that's massive. I can imagine being in a very new place for you and not, I mean, I know you said you had mates here, but you really hadn't been here that long, right? So, like, not having your family around and stuff, how was that?
Yeah, it was pretty tricky, especially, like, delivering all the news. You're calling people up to say, hey, this is what's happening. I've got a fairly major operation next week, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Lots of my mates thinking I was just calling in to check in. Because of the time zone, they'd be like, probably at the pub or something. And I'm there like,
out drinking.
A bit of a serious chat.
Yeah. God, I can imagine.
And a bit, like, it's just, like, quite tiring. It's quite a big bit of news to talk through to so many different people, like family, friends. You're just on the phone for a long time, essentially.
Yeah. The phone, right?
And like, over the phone.
That's, like, hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents like, oh, I just want to be able to give you a hug, but you're 30-odd hours away. And it was tricky.
Talking about kind of going back to, I guess, the very, very start, I know, you know, at the start I mentioned about breaking down a few of those barriers and you saying it was kind of in the middle of your to-do list. And I guess a little bit later I want to talk about how do we get that to the top for people, maybe. Yeah. but talk to me about the actual process of going to the doctors. What happens? What are they doing? What are you looking for? Because I think this is probably the biggest thing for young people, if anything is relating to, you know, your genital area or something that may be a little bit more embarrassing or makes people feel a bit awkward. Like, how did that all happen? What can people expect in an appointment where you go, hey, there's something on my testicles that I'm worried about? What happens there?
I think, like, the first thing is just, it is going to be weird seeing a doctor for that. Like, that is a bit strange, but that's just, like, it's their job. That's what just getting over that first hurdle. Mm. Like,
it's weirder for you than it is for them, I guess, probably, right?
100%,
they see a million people a day.
100%. So it's like just realizing that, like, for the sake of, like, 10 seconds of weird kind of embarrassment or whatever, like, it is literally so important to do. Like, so it's that's like a first little step where you just got to be like, oh, that might be a bit strange. But super important. So what happened was going to the GP, and for me it was I'd felt a lump. But there's lots of other different symptoms, which is why the like know thy nuts or knowing and checking regularly is really important, because it could be a change for testicular cancer. It could be a change in, like, size or weight or feel. Which is why knowing what normal is really important, because any change is something that could be significant. But for me, it was a lump, which was quite an obvious change.
And then... And not to be, like, weirdly specific, but, like, I'm a female, so this is just, like, I'm like, I wouldn't know what the bloody hell that means, right? A lump was it super noticeable for you? Like, how big was the lump?
Like a small pea.
Okay,
lump.
So, like, really in my mind, I'm like, that's big, right?
Maybe even smaller.
Yeah. Okay.
And for me, it actually turned out there was three tumors, but that lump was one of them that I could feel. So the other two I actually couldn't feel.
Wow.
That's why it's important for any change, is, like, you should go and get checked. And also, like, if you're not sure, like, I don't know why I wouldn't have, like, obviously in retrospect, it's easy to say these things, but it's like any change is, like, worst case, the doctor's just like, no, you're fine. You're perfectly healthy. Like, that's such a good outcome to happen.
Yeah.
So if there's anything that you're, like, kind of worried about, like, you might as well just go get checked. And then the doctor's like, oh no, you're stressing over nothing. Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's the best case scenario, yeah, exactly. Right? And there's no harm. I guess I've spoken about this a lot on this podcast, especially talking about mental health and all of those things, is making sure we use, you know, and that's equally important in this sense, but using the resources that are available to us, because I feel like a lot of people think, you know, I'm being overdramatic or I don't deserve to be using this. This is for people who are really struggling, or this is, you know, I shouldn't take up this doctor's appointment just because I'm unsure. Mm. Where it's like that you're allowed to do that. That's what it's there for. And it's everyone's right to be able to go in and do that. And I feel like that's as well is one of those barriers for men and probably young men as well in particular who don't feel like they can go and seek help in that way as much. Yeah. Did you ever feel that?
I feel like in guys especially, there's that barrier about going to the doctors. Mm. I don't really know what is at the cause of that.
Oh, probably many, many things, I would say.
Yeah, like, yeah, complicated. We don't have all day on the podcast to go into that one. But yeah, I think, I guess not so much barriers, but like, yeah, it's just there's just something there that slows it down, and it's never, like I said, it's never a priority, which it absolutely should be. Mm. And I feel like, yeah, just also being able to rule it out.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to, it doesn't have to be on a to-do list at all. It's like a...
Tick it off.
Yeah, it's ruled out, okay.
Mm.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And then you just know. It's, I don't know, that's a terrible answer to your question. No, it's not.
I love that you spoke about really knowing your body as well and therefore being able to notice changes. Again, this is, again, and probably another topic that we could talk about forever, but this whole stigma around just knowing your body, like there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm such a big advocate for that. Like that's this whole health education. It's so important to know yourself and how your body works. And that includes those areas and those things that make you uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, hugely important, especially like you said, because there's two tumors that you had that you couldn't necessarily feel. And, you know, that could be anyone. Not to scare people in any way, but you know, that realistically, you might not always have that real physical sign, even of like quite a small lump. Like some people really might not know what that is or what's going on. And yeah, making sure that you know yourself at a normal, I guess, base level enough that if something does change, it is noticeable to you is just so bloody important.
Yeah, sure.
So you found out that you had testicular cancer. You've been told that by your doctor. What are the next steps from there? What's kind of the timeline from there?
Yeah, I also want to say, like, by the way, like when you're saying, oh, if you're unsure, just like, because also the doctors are not 100% sure until they do further tests. So it's like, if you're unsure, they're not going to be able to just like one look and everything's diagnosed. It's like, they're just, they're not going to be 100% sure either until they do further tests. So if you're unsure, you're on the same, like, you're in the same ballpark and you just want to like seek more information essentially. I saw the GP, I went to get some scans done on the ultrasound scans, and then I did some blood tests, because there's different levels of markers in your blood, mm-hmm. which like indicate the like tumor markers.
Yeah.
So I had some blood tests done, and then I was booked in to see a urologist who was gonna operate. So the treatment for testicular cancer is an operation in the first instance.
Yeah.
And so then that was scheduled for, I think, a week after I was diagnosed.
Wow. Yeah. Quick.
Real quick.
So you're just kind of like, oh, living my normal life, go to the doctors, get a test.
Yeah.
A week later, almost.
Yeah. So there was just loads of different, like, all the, like, the blood tests and stuff I had to do within that week. And then it was like, oh, how's 11 a.m. next Wednesday? As if you're like, you're booking in a coffee. You're like, yeah, I'm free then. Yeah.
Oh, well, kind of have to be, don't I?
He was like, does that work for you? I was like, yeah, like whenever. like
should take work off that day or something, probably.
Probably I will make myself free for that. Yeah.
Jeez. So, and then so how was, you know, leading up to the surgery and that whole process? What kind of was it like? You had to stay in for a couple of days?
It's a day surgery, hopefully. if everything goes to plan, which it did. So I was in for one day, I think. Mm-hmm. I went in the morning. I was out by the evening.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I'm a bit hazy on the details because of all
You would have been under a lot of anesthesia and things like that.
But yeah, I think the prep was... I just had to do those tests. They advised me to go to do a like a sperm deposit.
Okay.
Because if I had to do chemotherapy after my operation, that's really bad for your fertility.
Right.
So there was sort of interesting questions there from the doc where they were like, yeah, like... Do you want children? I was like, oh wow, okay.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, big questions.
For 24, you're just like, don't know yet, you know? Yes,
good question, let me get back to you. But they were like, yeah, let's do that because
just in case
there's the potential that this leads to that. Mm. So that was a whole experience too.
Yeah, I bet.
So there's so kind of a funny anecdote, but we will save that for another time.
Well, it's funny, right? Because that is all a part of it. And no idea. Like, I would never have thought. I mean, like, it seems obvious, right? That, of course, going through any kind of cancer treatment is going to impact other parts of your body, especially something like chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't then think, oh, but do a sperm deposit before that just in case, you know, then you can't have babies afterwards, and maybe you do want to when you're whatever age, or you know, oh God, there's just so much to think about, like so many decisions to make, right?
So luckily I didn't have to have any chemotherapy.
Yeah. But
you, like with the space of 1 week, you're being told a lot of different information and, oh, think about this, think about that, think about that.
Huge.
It was a lot to process. There's a whole lot going on in your head at that time. So it's kind of just like, do what you're told and follow what the doctor's saying, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the mental toll, you know, we can talk about all the physical things of going through the surgery and that's all huge, and especially, you know, people needing to do chemotherapy. Is that if the cancer has spread?
Yeah.
And so that's obviously amazing that wasn't the case for you.
Yeah, really amazing.
Yeah, awesome. And so is that, do you have any idea of the, like, did they kind of tell you whether that was more common or not to have the cancer spread from testicular cancer? Like, is that something that...
It kind of depends on the type of testicular cancer.
Okay.
It also depends on how long
it's gone untreated,
which is why it's so important to, like, obviously check. Like, I know we're saying the same things, but obviously check. Yep. And then if there's something there, you can get it treated quicker, which stops it spreading to other places, which is kind of like the cool thing is, it's like one of the best cancers to have if you're going to have a cancer.
God, because because
it's so treatable.
Yeah.
Which is a really awkward sentence to be saying, but it's super treatable as long as it's caught early. There's that. But there's a whole lot of information you're getting and a lot to think about.
How'd you go with the mental toll of that? And I guess, you know, like we just touched on a little bit earlier, being here away from your family, how did you go with support here and all of that?
Like I said, yeah, lots of it, you're just being told what to do. And it's just like, okay, this is stressful, but you're not making a choice, which is kind of not, like, there's nothing you could do. And I think the fact that it's a week after is pretty... It's like, okay, this happening next week. You don't have months and months to
kind of
weigh on your
up.
Mind. The one choice I did get was, so you can have a prosthetic put in or not, which is also something that you also would never think about unless being in that situation.
Yeah.
So then the surgeon was like, oh, do you want a fake put in, essentially?
Yeah.
And there's no real, like, harm or benefit either way. Like, there's lots of, like, you can read
it's
about it, or like
choice,
it's personal,
right?
Choice.
Yeah.
But that was actually kind of tough.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's like everything else you don't have a say in. This is what's going to happen, and then that's the only thing where they're like, your choice, what do you want? And I'm like,
can you make it for me?
I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, which is better? It's like, oh, it's personal choice, like, up to you. I've actually spoken to other people that have been through this, and they also said that I feel like it's the only tiny thing you get your say in, like out of the whole procedure. So I feel like a lot of my stress about everything was concentrated into that, which is kind of funny, in all honesty. And I guess it was, a lot of the mental.
That is really interesting to think about, because it's like there is so much going on. You are essentially in like just like this big whirlwind of information, like you said. Yep. And then someone does come to you with, you know, this or this. There's only two choices, right? Like you can have this or you don't have this. And that's something that you're chewing on, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I think it makes sense though, right? Like, especially like you said, everyone's just telling you what to do. They're telling you to be here next Wednesday. They're telling you this is what you need to do in order to survive this and to be healthier and continue to, you know, live cancer free. And here's a decision thrown in. It's like, whoa.
Which seems like the most important decision in the world at the time.
Yeah, but you know what? That, like, I think that's important as well, being able to have something that you could make a decision about and feel a bit more autonomy over your body and stuff. Because I can imagine being in that situation where, you are being told. Like, was it hard to kind of stay within your body in that time? I don't know if that's a weird question.
I feel like there was a lot of just, and when people are asking me about it, it's like, oh, what happened? Like when you're saying, what's the timelines? What happened next? I was like, it is a bit of a blur.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of information, probably a bit of shock or quite a lot of shock. Yeah, I don't know. And then making lots of phone calls, seeing different doctors. I'm like, it's all a bit, I can't place it together properly.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was just sort of
going with it.
Going with the flow.
Yeah. So what the actual, do you know, I'm assuming you absolutely do, what the procedure is called? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's called like an orchidectomy.
Orchidectomy. Medical words are hard on that. It's like, make it easier. Yeah. Come on. Okay. And so what did they actually do in that? Because you said like, you know, you can have a prosthetic. Like, can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah.
Just from your understanding. Obviously, you're not the doctor, right? Yeah. So I'm not. You're passed out on the table. Yeah.
But yeah. And it's like, it's one of the funny ones. Like, oh, yeah, it's getting chopped off. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's not quite how it happens. So they kind of open you up. So there's a scar across the lower part of my abdomen.
Yeah.
And they go down. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they remove the testicle out, and then that's where the prosthetic also goes in. So there's like a scar, which is sort of an opening that they access through. It's not on a table with an axe sort of.
Oh my God, I would hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, and so how is, you know, you've gone through that, you're, you know, out of hospital. How was the recovery process?
I was, like I said, pretty dazed afterwards.
Yes, can imagine.
Fairly fragile. But the recovery has gone pretty well. So without, I'm doing a lot of blood tests and CT scans and stuff still, just to check that there's been no spread, because there can be spread, afterwards that it wasn't detected beforehand. Luckily for me, there's been none of that so far. So
that's good.
Like, all of my blood tests are coming back clear, and all of my CT scans, my doctor's very happy with me. Good. Making good progress.
So is testicular cancer generally hereditary? Is there kind of a link there, or is it quite random?
One of the warning signs, or one of the things you should be aware of, is if there's a family history of it. There's also something where if your testicles are undescended when you're younger, then that's another like leading indicator.
Okay.
Which is interesting. And there's a few other like bits like that. So I was talking to a doctor recently about this, a specialist in testicular cancer. And he was like, if you ask sort of your parents about when you were younger and if there needed to be anything done there, or when you were a kid, Because you might not remember that, but it might be, have been something that's also like a leading indicator of risk.
That's interesting, isn't it? Especially like from a young age. I mean, that's not something you're really looking out for or caring about. I know we just spoke about the fact that I'm a high school teacher and, you know, I'm around young people all the time and that's not a conversation that's being had, you know? So I think it's so important, right, to have this conversation with you today and to really talk about it. I know when I was talking to someone from November and they said that testicular cancer is the most common cancer in young people aged 15 to 34 in Australia.
I'm pretty sure that is,
which is just so shocking. Like, I'm a health teacher and I was not aware of that. I did not know that. And I think, you know, we're sitting here and there's probably people that are like, it's maybe not relevant to me, blah, 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 but it absolutely is. You know, my core listenership is from 20 to 35 years. And so if you've never been tested or if there is something going on and maybe you've not been sure about it for a while, you know, take this as a bit of a sign to maybe go and sort it out and do that. I think, you know, we are very blasé in Australia. I don't know how it is in the UK, but I think like a lot of people are pretty blasé about stuff here and just kind of like, oh, you know, we'll be right. She'll be right. Nah, whatever. If something happens, it happens. We'll be right. But, you know, when it comes to your health, like we talked about, you can never be too careful and never, you know.
It's one of my favorite sayings that I've since moving to Australia. One of the favorite things I hear is, she'll be right.
She'll be right.
In most contexts, apart from this. For health.
Yeah, absolutely.
In every other context, context is great. You're
well,
like,
it's
oh,
a good
right.
mindset sometimes, but not with
in
this.
In terms of seeing the doctor, it's probably not the right attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to, you know, you touched on future scans and like continuing to do blood tests and stuff. Is that something that you now are doing lifelong? Like what's kind of the process from here on out?
Yeah, so there's like a five-year plan I've got. And so straight after surgery, it was pretty frequent. I think it was every 2 weeks or maybe even weekly straight afterwards to check that those tumor markers had dropped, which is what they're looking for, which is essentially a great sign that the tumors aren't in your bloodstream anymore or like the tumors aren't in your body. So those blood markers dropped and then I think that was moved to monthly and now it's 3 monthly, I think, I have a blood test. And then every 6 months I have an x-ray and a CT scan. And there's just a whole list of things, but essentially it gets more and more spread out the further from the operation it was, because the doctors are more and more happy that the operation has essentially done its job and it's just like keeping an eye on me instead of like
just checking in every
now
and again.
Just checking in and being like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So like the further, the better, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Okay, yeah, cool.
So those first ones are a bit more stressful. We're like, oh, let's hope that the operation's done its job, because the first ones were like, oh, we might have to move you straight into chemo if it hasn't. Whereas when they came back, it was like, okay, no, we'll see you next month. And if that's okay, then et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so essentially that kind of no news is good news, right? It's like
exactly,
if nothing's there, nothing's happening, they can just give you a quick phone call to tell you all clear. It's the best
case scenario. It is a little bit scary every time it pops back up because then you start to think about it again. Because essentially you can get back into normal life fine and then every 3 months,
you're kind of going back into that headspace a little bit. And how do you go with that and dealing with that? You know, is there anything that you do for yourself to kind of help yourself in that way mentally, I guess?
I do try and kind of stay distracted. I am a bit of a baby when it comes to the blood tests.
You just close your eyes and look away.
So what I do afterwards, I pick like a cafe and go for a coffee and get some cookies and give myself a little bit of a treat.
Treat yourself. I love that. Very deserving, for
sure. So I do that as a bit of a treat afterwards. And then just, I don't know, just try and keep busy. And so far it's just been, just pop in and all the news has been fine. So, and then it's just a relief and then you forget about it straight away. Yeah. Essentially, like, oh, what was I worried about? Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm glad that that's how it's going for you and everything. And do you have the same doctors throughout all of this or does it change? Like,
I don't know. I don't know if that's normal, but I've had the same doctors. So I had my urologist for the operation. So I saw him from like the week before, and then a couple of checkups afterwards just to check that everything was fine. Good. But yeah, and then I stopped seeing him. But my oncologist is the cancer doctor, is just reviewing my blood tests and scans and stuff. So he's up to date with all of my sort of information.
Yep.
And yeah, I just pop in and see them.
Yeah. And so I guess going back to that stat of testicular cancer being the most common from 15 to 34, we're going to just stick with that. I reckon that's right. If it's not right, I'll pop in a little voice note here and correct myself, but I'm pretty sure that's right. Thinking of yourself at 15, do you reckon you would have gone to the doctors or even recognized or realized?
No, this is the thing. It's everyone was very shocked. It's like, oh, you're 24. I was shocked. Like, you don't associate someone being fairly young, 24, and cancer. Obviously, statistically, it's a thing that can happen. So I feel like once that is more recognized, then there's more chance of people being like, oh, that's something could happen there. And it's more likely to get people checking. But yeah, I don't think for me it was ever on the radar until it was far too much on the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's that important thing of, like you touched on at the start, of getting it from the middle of your to-do list to the very top and making sure that health is a priority for people no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's a shock being 24, but realistically you're 9 years older than the youngest age group this is affecting, and that's huge. And like you said, if someone has experienced testicular cancer from a younger age and it's gone unrecognized, there is a high chance that therefore it's spread to other parts of the body, and it's just a kind of a bit of a snowball effect there, right? And so do you, like, I guess this might be just be a big question for you, and if you don't have an answer to this, please do not stress. How do we get young men in particular, I guess, to put this kind of thing at the top of their to-do list?
I think it's a good question.
Thank you.
I think it's also about talking about it. So when it's out in the open and it's in conversation regularly, then it's not as taboo, it's not as weird. Like, I feel like step one is getting over the fact that testicle is kind of a funny word. And like,
oh my God. And believe me, as a health teacher, you say like penis, vagina, testicle, and it's like, it's like everyone giggles. Like, it doesn't matter how old they are. Everyone giggles.
It's funny. And it, I think, funny. That's step one, is getting over that tiny hurdle of being like, and it's then when you're like talking about it, like, I feel like something like a couple of beers at the pub is kind of useful for this, where it's like, oh, you're more likely to just have a chat and be like, oh, yeah, maybe you should go to the doctor. Like, I went the other day and I was fine. But, you know, like, when it's out in the open, that conversation's happening, it's a lot easier to just make it normal. And I think it's happened a lot, and noticeably from friends of mine, where since everything's happened with me, people be telling me, oh, Tom, I went to the doctor the other day just to get checked. And I'm like, you don't need to tell me, but it's nice that you are.
Yeah,
and
it is,
like,
good.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, and like, I thought I felt something, but the doctor said it was okay. And like, just, I probably wouldn't have gone without this being a conversation. And that's kind of like the whole point, I guess, is, yeah, it's when it's acceptable and normal, and like, you just kind of end up doing what your mates do anyway, don't you? Like, in the grand scheme of things, if your mates going on a run, you go on a run. If your mates go to the pub, you go to the pub. If all your mates go to the doctor every month to get checked, then that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Don't want to be left out.
Yeah, no, I like that. And, you know, that is quite nice that, you know, people are, and your mates are going, you know what, like, because of your story and the things that you've gone through now, which, I mean, it shouldn't ideally get to that point, right? Like, you shouldn't have to have someone in your life to actually be diagnosed with cancer before we start to care about it. It should be something there already. But, you know, for you to be a source of education, I guess, for those people to be like, oh, you know, this is actually really bloody serious and it impacts your life. And it's not something that just happens to old people or, you yeah. know, something you have to worry about in 20 years' time. Like, it's now, and it's important to be educated about it and wary of it and, you know yourself, like we talked about at the start. Can you talk to me about a bit of the process? So April's Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, right? The process of actually self-checking.
Yep.
And how to do that and like kind of what that involves for people. And if someone's sitting, you know, at home listening to this going, well, I don't actually know where to start with that. First of all, there are lots of resources on Movember.
Yep.
But what is the process of that?
Yeah, so the process is, I mean, it's pretty simple. And like, if you're listening, it's very like, you can just Google it. There will be heaps of 1, 2, 3 step guides of what yep. it is. And it's kind of, step one is you want to be in a hot shower, or that's like a recommended
okay.
good place to check, because in the hot shower, your skin's kind of looser and it's easier to feel, feel that basically.
Yeah, no, that's good. I did not know that. So that is, yeah, makes sense.
So yeah, that's like having a shower.
I mean, you're already naked, hopefully. I don't know why people would be sharing not naked. Showering, but
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's the ideal sort of setting.
Yeah.
And then it's about sort of like between your four fingers and your thumb, you're sort of just gonna roll the testicle between them. And it should feel sort of smooth and round. And this is again when it's useful to know what it feels like normally, but that's sort of what you're, I guess you're feeling. And then any sort of changes or differences there is what you're looking for. And there is some other stuff in there. There's like some, I don't know what they're called, like cords in there too, which you might feel. So that's useful to also know about that if you're, just know what that feels like, because if you're worried about, I don't know, going in on a false alarm every time, like just knowing,
what's normal. Yeah. So the cords being your epididymis.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah. Again, not a doctor, but.
No, well, neither am I. I mean, that's really useful, right? Especially, you know, being in a space that's warmer, like a hot shower and. Again, knowing your anatomy so that you know kind of what should be there mm-hmm. and what should not be there, and doing a quick Google and taking the time to do that, and also the importance of doing that like ongoing.
Yeah.
Because you might feel nothing at one point, and then, you know, maybe a couple months later. Is there like a time frame that they kind of say to check in? Like, is it every 6 months you should kind of do that? Is it every couple months?
I don't actually know, but like you said, it's super simple. Like yeah. you're just in the shower. Like it can take 30 seconds. Yeah. So it's not as if you need to like schedule this time in your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just it can happen as and when. So it's like as often as you kind of remember or like want to.
Yeah.
But there probably is a recommended time check. Schedule, but
just whenever it comes to mind, I guess.
You're there, yeah.
If it helps to put it in your calendar, you could just to keep you accountable. That's for sure. So this is a little bit sideways, but you are a runner.
Yeah,
right? Is that right?
Yeah,
yes.
I go on some runs.
You on some runs? You love it. So we've got a run club here, which is really fun.
Ooh, fun.
I bloody love my running as well. How did this help you kind of get back to normal life? How is that? You know, because I think that's massive. I know when I was discussing you with the person who organized this, they were saying, you know, has run a half marathon and a marathon and blah, 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 or multiple. I don't know. You tell me. What was that about? You know, why did you already run and then you kind of kept going with it afterwards, or you got more serious with it, or you started running afterwards? Like, how did that all go?
Yeah. So I started running taking running as a sport as I came to Australia.
Big thing here, isn't it?
It's huge. I think it's just super popular everywhere.
Worldwide now,
right?
Now, yeah.
Worldwide trend. So yeah,
love
one
it.
Of those. But yeah, probably started running 3-4 months before everything happened. So I was getting quite into it. I've always been big into my sports. So this was just another another fun one to add on.
What's your number one? What's your favorite sport?
It's tricky. It's
hard. Is that hard? Real tricky. Well, you're from the UK, so is it soccer, football?
Yeah, I probably I'm Aston Villa fan. So watching, I'm most into the football.
Yeah,
I'm going to call it football.
I was going to say you can.
I can't bad.
You've got the accent. You can call
yeah.
it.
but yeah, I played rugby at school. I did rowing at university. Yeah.
Oh, rowing. Cool.
And then yeah, so I've always been pretty active. So this was joining a run club.
Yeah.
And then it was a bit of a shock for the surgery, alongside everything else, is that, like, as you can imagine, you're pretty fragile. You can't really walk very well straight after. It's all a bit painful and sore, and that took a while to get from, and also just like going from being active to just having to sit and do nothing for a while just to heal from what's a pretty big operation.
Massive, I would say. Yeah.
So there's that.
Who helped you along in that time? You know, I'm just like, can't imagine going through something like this without your family, a phone call away to come and help you out, you know? Like, who was there helping you through that?
Yeah, a really good friend of mine, Henry, who...
Shout out to Henry.
he sort of was like, oh, you can come and stay at mine. And him and his partner, Geordie, were looking after me for that time.
Yeah.
He also runs the run club.
That's another link. I love that. Yeah. So what's the run club called?
It's called Lil Big.
Okay, Lil Big Run Club. Shout out to them too.
Yeah, got a shout out.
Yeah, love that.
But yeah, he runs the run club.
Cool.
So I was staying at his, and then obviously he was going out every day for a run, and I was I'd love to join.
Yeah. Yep.
So he was, I think I stayed at his for 2 weeks just while I was getting back on my feet, like almost quite literally. I've forgotten what.
Yeah, sorry, I asked you like 10 other questions within that one question. Just about getting, you know, into half marathons or triathlons, is it?
I've done. It's kind of a nice marker with, like, as you mentioned, my family's back at home. And I think it's tricky for them when I'm like, oh, I'm doing fine. So being able to prove that I'm doing fine, it's like, oh, I just hit a PB in this, or I just did a half marathon last weekend, or a triathlon, is quite a nice way to, and I think also to myself, if we're being honest, to prove that I'm like fitter and sort of up and going and back to normal as much as I can be.
Feeling like yourself again, yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, it's nice to know that I've, since then, I'm like fitter and faster and stronger, which is kind of cool, because it's like you don't want it to be something that's like hindered you or held you back. It's like I'm better than I was. It's not something that's gonna lifelong affect me.
Yeah, that's super inspiring.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, which is also I guess it's for anyone asking. It's useful to be able to hold up that as proof, even be like, I ran a triathlon in a PB time 3 weeks ago. People are like, oh, that's a good time.
You're like, well, you must be doing pretty well.
Exactly.
It's incredible on its own, let alone, you know, the fact that you've gone through all of this last year and now, you know, you're here doing triathlons and half marathons and amazing. And I love that, you know, doing it for yourself as well, to, like you said, being quite an active person in general. Like, it's a massive blow not being able to move around and do the things that you normally do. And then being able to come out and be like, this is something that's really making me feel like myself again.
Yeah.
Like, super important to kind of find that thing, I can imagine, you know, to get back into. So that's really cool and very cool.
It's also physically and socially.
Like,
it's nice to just reintroduce yourself to like a nice social group where, I don't know, you're doing both, physically getting back on my feet, but also when I was popping along and saying hi to people, I'm like, oh, checking in and seeing if I was all right. It was
nice. How nice is that? So you've made some really good connections through that as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, I bloody love it. And that's like, I mean, I'm a PE teacher, so sometimes I'm like, oh, it's like I'm a bit biased in this, but I just think sport's like the best thing ever for
so good
for every single dimension of our health. I'm like, sport is it. Sport is it. That's everyone should play sport or be involved in some sort of group activity that is active. Like, I just will never. That's yeah. I'm just
especially
like, yeah.
If you move in country as well,
oh,
like, you've
100%.
Got just like a pre-made group of friends that you can just go and join
on
in.
Into. Yeah. That's awesome. And you know what? Everyone will like it because you get an accent here, right? It's just such a thing.
Yeah,
like, you're from somewhere else, everyone's like, woo! But in all seriousness, like, that resilience and your level of resilience and, you know, being able to finish a race and be like, I did that after everything that I've been through, it is genuinely so inspiring and just incredible to hear that resilience and that bounce back of, like, I'm not going to let this be something that, you know, controls me or hinders me, like you said. So, yeah, massive kudos to you on that, because that's huge. And then even, you know, it's hard coming on a random podcast and, you know, talking about it as well, right? Like, we can't kind of dismiss the fact that coming onto a platform like this and sharing your experience, that's not always an easy thing. And I think, you know, I'm so appreciative that you've come here today to chat to me. And I'm sure people listening to this will have learnt so much. I've learnt so much from you. And yeah, I can't say thank you enough for coming on today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries.
I hope I've been helpful.
You've been very helpful. Very, very helpful. And yeah, can't wait to see what you get up to next. Actually, before we end, you're going home soon, is that right?
I am, yeah, planning on heading back to the UK. I've got some people to see, some family.
Have you seen your family or anything since they came over?
I went back to the UK just before Christmas.
Yeah.
I was actually on a work trip, but I managed to a few days.
Get paid to go see your family? That's awesome.
I think, yeah, boss was very understanding that I could have a few days holiday to see the family.
Sure they were.
And yeah, actually my parents are due to visit very soon before I head back. So yeah, there's a lot of fun things going on. My sister's getting married.
Oh wow.
In summer
in
July.
Amazing.
So
I'll back
be
home?
Back in the UK.
Yay.
So that's gonna be super exciting.
Oh, how cool is that?
So excited.
Oh well, congratulations to your family and to your sister as well. Wow, so yeah, a lot to look forward to. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey team, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It would be a huge help for me and the health classes you missed if you could like, follow, or subscribe wherever you are listening. And of course, if you want to keep learning and stay up to date with me, make sure you come and follow me at the health classes you missed on Instagram or THCYM. And how's your head on TikTok? I've actually got 2 TikTok accounts now, so make sure you follow both of those to get all of that content. Thanks, guys. See you later.